Hey, gang, it's Monday for me. And maybe for you, it's Tuesday or Wednesday or possibly Thursday. Obviously, Friday or Saturday or something. It could be lundi or mardi, mercredi, jeudi, vendredi, samedi, dimanche. Those are the days of the week in French. Obvi. Bienvenue, c'est Smartless.
Smart.
Sean, did you end up making a spare on that last frame? Because I've also noticed.
Listener, Sean's got a pinky splint on, and It looks like a half a bowling
guard.
Are
you still wearing the boot on your foot, too?
No, the boot on my foot.
And he's also texting while we're asking him these questions. Do you want us to hold the records before you're done with your social media?
I'm looking for a video of me golfing. I want to show you guys my golf swing.
What is the pinky hammock for? What's going on?
Okay, so I just have a little tendonitis in my right pinky.
No, you don't.
How does one even identify tendonitis in a pinky?
You don't
pinky?
Have anything. You didn't have a foot thing. You don't have a fucking tendonitis in your thing. Take it off, shut up, and keep going. What are you talking about?
No, just from playing. I'm trying to play.
Did you get that? How do you injure your pinky? Is that from like a remote control that was unwieldy or?
No. No, it's playing piano, just like the same piece over and over and over. And what's happening is I'm reaching too far with my pinky. So it's totally fine now. I'm just
It's a piano injury. Is that right?
I kept playing with the same piece, and then I replaced my piece. And now I have a more, like a permanent.
And you just zip that one on, right? Oh, it snaps.
And I zip in the back. No, snap in the front, zip in the back.
Zip. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great.
So, Sean, this is playing piano, rehearsing for your upcoming Broadway show. Called?
Right,
starting, let's get the dates out in the theater and all that stuff. It was a website or something like that.
It's called Goodnight Oscar. Performances start April 7th in New York at the Belasco Theater.
And you can buy tickets at something.com.
Can I say?
At goodnightoscar.com.
You know what? After I talked to a friend, that was Oscar Levent, just as I remembered him.
What a great compliment.
We can say that. We can talk about that if you want.
Let's do it. Let's open it up.
And we're not going to open
Sean.
It up. We're not going to open it up.
Okay. It's up to you guys. I don't care.
No, it's up to you. First of all, we love you. And I will say, we did try to come in I know we're talking about Goodnight Oscar again, but we did try to come in the spring and then we couldn't.
You tried real hard.
Yeah, why didn't we go?
I was working on the weekends.
And then during the week, you didn't want to.
I was working during the week, but I was also working Saturdays. And you were...
What was I doing?
Everybody was working.
Why didn't I go? Or maybe I think you were just feeling so bullish about it going to Broadway eventually that we were just like, well, let's just keep our powder dry for New York.
Right. But also, like, I'm not one of those people. I don't think you guys are too. It's like, you got to come see my show.
No, you got to go
see my movie.
No.
Yeah.
You know, no, I'm just like come
I don't
or don't come.
I don't expect anyone to.
Yeah,
to,
never.
Even if it's in the convenience of your own home on television,
right.
I don't expect you to watch.
No, I've had the thing before, actually, where I've said, like, my mom has said, like, why didn't you tell us that you're on Kimmel? I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't want to.
Yeah, send out a newsletter.
You know, you'll see about it. You'll see about it on social media when people are. You know,
you got white pants on today, Will?
Okay.
White
Jesus
shorts.
Christ.
White
shorts.
I'm wearing white shorts.
No. Don't spread them.
Uh-oh.
Ew, and white slides? What's going on? Do you have a yacht party?
I've got these filthy.
I see them.
Those are Air Jordan slippers?
Slides. Yeah.
Slides.
Oh.
What's the difference between a slide and a slipper?
I'm wearing these shorts are so comfy, and they're like a Terry short. You know?
Oh, my God. Stop with that. Don't ever say that again. You know what I would love? I'd love for you to just put that dumb outfit on thinking, ew.
Oh, ew. We just saw
I just saw top pubes. He just showed us the waistband, listener, and the shorts were down a little bit lower than his ideal.
So they...
I'd love for you to go to just get in the car. Oh, I got to go get some milk down at the liquor store or something. Not expecting to be out, really out about... And then get a flat tire and be stuck on the side of the road with traffic going by in that outfit.
But wait a minute. That's what Scotty always says to me. He's like, I'm just going to the 7-Eleven to get some ice cream. He's like that?
Just like you're getting a flat.
Yeah.
And but look at you, Jay. I get that from you. You're like, you don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
7-Eleven doesn't have the ice cream I like.
But I will not leave the house with my Birkenstocks on that have the fuzz the fur, on the inside. You know, the furry. The
fleece. I would totally do that.
Those are slippers.
I would totally do that.
I'd never be seen in public with those.
You know what? Actually, it's funny that you say that because I wear my slippers often to drive the kids to school and whatever, and they have a tread on the bottom. And the reason I felt okay doing that was because about 15 years ago, I went to Jar with Scotty and Sean showed up at dinner wearing slippers for dinner.
Oh, that's
for
right,
a
I did.
Dinner date. Do you remember that?
Were you pulling the little stand with your
my IV?
Yeah, that's it.
He had claimed at that time, though. He kept saying, I hope I die soon. I hope. So I guess he had given up in that moment.
No, I had UGG slippers, which could, you know.
He did have UGG slippers.
Oh, so they're dress up.
Remember Richard Ehrlich? Remember that time when I first met him and he was at your old house and he came in and he was wearing UGGs and I go, hey, man, and I never met him before. I go, hey, Kate Hudson called. She really wants her boots back.
Now, Kate makes anything look good. Let's hold on a second now. Kate makes anything look good.
Oh, I agree.
She can start any trend. And by the way, Ehrlich. Can make anything look good.
I agree.
Ehrlich, let me tell you something.
Talk about the
silver fox.
The guy
is good looking when you can pull off a turtleneck.
His hair is phenomenal. That's one of the best
You know who else can pull off a turtleneck? Sean Levy.
Sean Levy can also pull off?
Sean Levy.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, is a Canadian countryman of yours.
Not a lot of guys can wear the white Terry shorts, though.
No,
Todd Snyder for champion.
I told you never to say that again.
It's Todd Snyder for champion. I know you like that.
Here come the boxes. Can we get to the guest, please?
Sure.
Poor thing.
Well, our guest, by the way. It's not your guest.
It's Sean's, isn't it?
It's my guest.
No, it's Will's.
Hey, first of all, fucking.
Oh, well, hang
dial
on a second.
Back.
Let me sit up a little bit taller then. Thought it was Sean's.
Oh, because my guests aren't.
My guests suck.
My guest. I think my guest is going to have an opinion on all of this, especially when it comes to fashion. And our fashion. And you know what? My guest has complimented me before, and I don't know if they remember. I'll give it to you. She remembers, but she has. But I will say this. She doesn't need to because she's got a lot going on for her. She's a recipient of many awards.
She has shitty taste in men's clothing, I can tell
you. Okay, well, wait. I can't wait for you to, chase that think bar with your own fucking words, dude. Because guess what?
Is this Stella McCartney?
This is a real class act.
Uh-oh.
This is a top of the line actor. This is somebody who has done it all, who's won the awards, who's done the action films, who's done the horror scary films, who's done the big drama films that get the fancy awards. This is the red carpet stalwart. This is somebody who is not only incredibly brilliant and smart and funny and engaging and beautiful and cool and also happens to be married to a very good friend of ours. It's the one and only Miss Emily Blunt.
Oh, this is perfect. It's a nice Saturday morning. Let's just smooth it in there.
I love your shorts. Thank you.
Don't say Terry
really nice.
Again.
Thank you. Yeah. They're Terry.
No, you got me with Terry. I was all in with Terry.
Does that mean that they're absorbent?
Don't interrupt her. She's talking.
Go ahead. Sorry.
You have a great suntan, and that helps.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I do. Thank you.
You get a tube of what he's got. You can rub one on yourself. You know, it's all bronzer.
Excuse
body
me. First
bronzer.
Of all, excuse me.
Emily, I love that you called it suntan as opposed to a bed tan because I think his tan is from a bed.
It's a
right?
tube tan.
First of all, I'm sorry.
Is it a tube tan?
What is the brand of the bronzer that you use?
Not.
Well?
It's not a. You think that I go to a goddamn suntan salon?
No, you wouldn't waste that time. You just take out the tube of the bronzer and just squirt on a.
No. What am I, Trump? No.
Emily, good morning.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, guys. How are you?
This is so long overdue. You know what's even longer overdue?
What?
John. Now we got to talk about why hasn't John been on the show yet? Well,
you have an awesome.
One of us is going to get in a lot of trouble the day he does show up.
That's true.
He's going to be hot.
Kyle Tracy.
He's going to come in swinging.
He's going to come in very hot, and he's going to come in with a ton of emotion. He's going to come in with a lot of emotion.
You might not even say yes now that Emily's been on first, and we're 150 episodes into this.
Hey Tracy, just so you know, we're talking about John Krasinski. I'm sure you know that they're married.
John Krasinski.
That's right.
John Krasinski.
Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Hi.
Period.
Hi.
You know what's funny? I think about how great you are and everything you do. And then when I get sent from our producer all this stuff and I go like, my God, Emily has done so much cool shit and so yeah. much good stuff. And you kind of forget because you're so, you do it also kind of effortlessly and elegantly. And you wear it all so well. And you're not like, you're not into self-promotion. You're not a braggart. You're not kind of like looking for acting. You just kind of do it and you just kind of, and it
yeah,
just
you're an actor.
Sort of falls off. You wear it
Wait,
real loosely.
Wait, are you saying you're not on Snap? Are you not on Snap?
Is it a verb now? It's just, it's
yeah, I'm
like.
Snapping. I'm okay. snapping. Snap. And I'm yeah. gramming.
Guys, I don't snap. And I don't gram.
Snap. I don't gram
I
either.
I do lurk. I mean, I do lurk on the gram.
Okay,
do
you do.
A bit of a lurk, yeah.
Emily Blunt, I've been such a fan for such a long time, and I've always wanted to meet you, and so this is really cool.
Wait,
for
you guys
me.
Don't know each other?
No,
we've never met. I'm so excited to meet you,
Will,
too.
Let's take a quick five and let them get acquainted.
Yeah, so I have. I've been like, you've been on my list as well as to be a guest on this show.
And yes, I remember we were going to do the live one. And then
is that what happened? Yeah.
You had asked me before these jackasses, and I didn't even know you.
We're going to write, right?
I didn't know you.
I'm such a fan.
Wait till John hears about this.
Let me say, tell you something about Kraz. But Kraz is...
he's tough to book. You know, the guy's
tough to book. He's tough to nail down. So, like, you text him, and then he's like... And then he takes 2 weeks, and then he texts you, and then he's like, what? Question mark. You're like, hey, man, I don't get 30 seconds, and you got 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are going to have to really duke this one out, I think.
I know.
Yeah.
God bless
him. Anyway, this is, do you guys know Emily really well? Because of John, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been buddies for a while.
You know, you guys were some of the first people that I ever met in Los Angeles. I think you guys were literally the first friends.
And then you immediately moved out of city. was that, would you
we
have stayed?
Ran.
I mean,
me before Jason, obviously I introduced Jason to Kraz. I feel like I'm at the center of like a weird axis.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So how did you meet, you met John via whom?
Me?
Amy? Will?
Yes. And we
via
met
some sort of office/parks and rec
office.
Thing?
John and I met at Mike Schur's wedding.
Got yes. it. Okay, so Mike knew yes. Amy from SNL. Okay,
of
got
course.
It all.
And I knew Mike, and we were at the wedding. And then John and I ended up dancing a lot together. And I know it sounds terrible, but we did.
Wait, John danced? This is unusual for John to dance at a wedding. You must have had some.
It was terrible dancing. It was a lot of just like jumping around more than anything. I actually just saw some photos of that recently. Anyway, we became friends. Then these guys started dating and we became friends. And immediately, Sean, here's one of the things, and I don't know if you can feel it already with yourself. You immediately fall in love with Emily. She's incredible.
Well, I didn't have to meet her to fall in love with her, but now that I have.
I know.
But Emily, I want to know, like, because I would love to get to know you, and this is the perfect opportunity. What brought you over to America first? I'm obviously assuming you grew up in the UK.
Do you mean the job? Or
yeah, either. Did you used to visit, or was it a job that brought you here?
I mean, I know we went to Disney. Is it Disney World in Florida or Disneyland?
Yes, Disney World. Yeah.
So we did that when I was a kid, and that was about it until I started, you know, trying to come over and audition for stuff, and came over for the terrifying pilot season. I remember some back in the day.
Did you?
And then, what's that?
You came over for pilot season?
Yes, and I didn't book anything.
How old were you?
I was about 19, I think.
Oh, yeah. Wow, really?
And were you with mom and dad, or were you just solo?
No, I was alone. Actually, I was with my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
And we stayed at the Beverly Hills Motor Hotel.
Yeah. Oh boy, that means you just get to park in a spot there, and they plug you into cable and stuff like that.
But then there was that really cool diner downstairs. It was an amazing diner.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it was called.
Do you remember any of the shows that you auditioned for that pilot season that ended up going to series that you didn't get?
No, I have no memory because it was so terrifying. It's all such a blur that whole time. So I don't know.
So after pilot season, you would just go back home to England, or?
Then I would go back home to England. And then I did this little independent film in England called My Summer of Love. It was my first movie. And then I got an American agent. And then I came back out again. And I auditioned for Devil Wears Prada, you know, quite early on.
Which I just watched again like a week ago.
And that was the thing that changed stuff.
Wait, that did.
So was that your second movie?
It was my third movie.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and you just went ahead and crushed it.
I've watched that so many times.
Yeah. You've done like a mini series and stuff. You've done like a film made for television, right? And then you've done that film, My Summer of Love. And then you did My Devil Wears Prada. And this was a film that had Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
And Anne Hathaway, who was just kind of coming out of, you know, as this new young star. And you shone through. You just, like, there was, like, this thing. Everybody was like, who is that girl?
Yeah.
Did you feel everything change the moment that film came out? Could you feel it? Like, oh, things are different?
Yeah, it was, I did feel it was almost overnight things changed. Mm. It was quite dramatic. I remember I was in L.A. and I was staying, actually, with the producer of The Devil Wears Prada. I was staying in her guest house for free if I just would babysit her kids. And I would go to the same bakery. I would go to the same bakery every day in Beverly Hills. And then after the weekend it came out, people sort of knew who I was.
That's amazing. And the character's name was Emily. Was that changed or was that just a coincidence?
That was just in the script. That was just in the script. But she was written, and the audition for it was mad, and maybe it's why I got it, because I felt so chaotic in the room. I was reading for something else. I think it was like a dragon flying movie. It was like before Game of Thrones. It was like a dragon movie happening. I can't remember what the name of it was. And I was auditioning for that, and I was desperate to get it. And then they said hey, you know, we got this other movie, and will you read for it quickly? And they just sort of handed me the pages. And I remember I was rushing to catch my flight, and I was so scared of being late for the plane that I think I read the audition in a kind of chaotic way, and maybe that worked. And then I remember being back in London in a nightclub with my sister, and I got a call from the director. And I mean, he must have just been like, should I hire this person? Because it was just like, you know, and he was like, Emily, it's David Frankel, you know. It was so cool. And
that you got the part, that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I had to go and audition again. But he said, I would cast you, the studio like you, but because I looked like a mess in the audition before, I was wearing like a t-shirt and jeans. He went, can you go and put on something more fashionable, you know, so they can see you in the role.
Really? Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were dressed for the dragon film.
Yeah, so I read again.
But isn't that funny that you're about to do, you read for that and it feels like overnight, it comes out and you say it feels like overnight. And meanwhile, you want to be like, guys, I was here staying at the Motor Inn when I was 19. Yeah. This is not, I've been fucking paying my goddamn dues.
Yeah.
And then people are like,
But even so, it was quick, right? I mean, the success, and you have, I'm sure you would attribute it to your mom or your dad, but can you give an easy explanation for how you've been able to be so elegantly jaded and conceited with the massive success you had so fast?
Don't attribute it to your mom or dad either, just to dissuade him from ever again putting words in your mouth.
You blame it on your dog. Your dog's kept you humble?
Well, I mean, it was all such a great surprise to me when it actually did happen. I went into the industry without a burning desire to do it, which I think actors sometimes hate to hear.
And your dad was a lawyer, right? Wasn't that right?
Yeah, my dad defends criminals for a living still.
Yeah. Wow.
My mom was an actress and then had way too many children and, you know, had a hard time within the business. So I didn't have any sort of preconceived idea that it would be a sunny time. You know, I think I'd seen it be quite painful for my own mom. And so I did a school play, got an agent because he came to see the play and he said, you want to give it a go? So maybe me going in with quite a casual attitude was good because I didn't expect anything. I don't know. I don't know if it's also, if you're from England, it's so abhorrent if you enthuse readily about yourself. It is so embarrassing to sort of self-promote or self-aggrandize. Yeah. So it's part of it is sort of cultural.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's interesting,
Yeah, you do have, that's what I mean about you wear it so loosely, you know, that you're just so sort of...
Like a drapey terry shirt.
Like a muumuu.
Well, these aren't drapey. These are quite...
Don't stand up again. Sit down.
Okay.
Who makes those? Is that James Purse? James Purse?
No, thank you for asking. It's Todd Snyder for Champion. It makes Jason so crazy when I say a name.
James
four.
Hurst is way too quality and classy to make Please. A Terry short.
Oh, yeah. No, oh, really?
They, yeah. I have James Purse white Terry shorts. Fact.
Oh,
and I love them. Oh, gosh.
Well, yeah. Then I'll wear them. Because if James Purse is making them, I'm wearing them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then you will be allowed.
Emily, that right there, Jason just betrayed a thing about him. I've long suspected it, but I haven't noticed due to very evasive measures. Quote from Withnail. Because what he's done there is, unless it's been stamped okay by certain, as he likes to say, tastemakers, it's not okay. He doesn't have the guts to take a fucking risk.
I will not take risks. I won't. I won't do it. No.
So he literally said to the guys from Radiohead,
I won't even skip a step on a
but
staircase.
But you do take risks with your work.
He said to the guys from Radiohead, I want to stamp my foot to it, but I can't. But I know that I'm supposed to like the music. You're not supposed to like anything. I'm leaving this interview. I'm quitting this interview.
Oh, guys, look at this.
You take big swings with your work, though. Come on, we got to have. He might not take a big swing with a Terry short, but he takes big swings with what he creates.
He does. Well, he's a very talented guy.
I am not a fashion forward guy, but I am not risk averse. I will tell you that.
We'll be right back.
Thank you to Organic Valleys for supporting the show. I'm just finishing up a little cottage cheese here. See, the thing is, I'm always on the hunt to find the best dairy products. But so many options out there. Which one do you choose? With Organic Valley, you can feel good choosing their dairy products. Their products are ethically sourced from small family farms where cows spend lots of time grazing outside on organic pasture. Organic Valley Dairy doesn't come from those big factory farms. Their farmer families are real people who care about people, animals, and nature. They just taste better. You can taste the organic. For me, look, I'm a coffee guy, okay? Guilty as charged. Every morning, I do the same thing, which is I come downstairs, I make my coffee, and the thing that this so important ingredient is my half and half. And I just happen to choose Organic Valley half and half, even before they started supporting the show. I mean, talk about a match made in dairy heaven. And I also happen to enjoy their eggs and their butter and their other products too. So I was going to say, so sue me, but so don't sue me. When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you enjoy a great tasting organic dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals they call it home. But do not ask me to convert that to hectares. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartlist. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity, that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker
lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
And now, back to the show.
Okay, I want to get to the, now you say big swings. So I want to talk about something that's a big swing. And that we've talked, I've talked to you about it personally because I felt very strongly about this at the time, and I feel even more strongly now, I think.
Here we go.
The Edge of Tomorrow, the film you did with Tom Cruise. You worked with so many big names. Hang on, Sean.
It's one of my favorite movies.
It is such an underrated film. You are so good in it, and I remember how hard you trained for it and all that stuff and going into it. But B, you're just so good in it. And the film itself is so fucking good. And Tom Cruise is so good in that film as well.
He's so brilliant in it.
When does this one come out?
By the way, Jason,
I've heard that it is the film. Yeah.
Wait, Jason, can we please watch it together?
Yeah, get over here with your little pinky splint and let's put it on.
Emily, can you talk a little bit about that experience of that film? Because you trained so super hard. Didn't you injure yourself a couple times?
I did. I still sort of have this injury that sustains from it. And I think, you know, because it was before I had kids, it was 9, 10 years ago we did it. And it was my first foray into action. And as Tom said, rather unreassuringly, when we started, he goes, "This is the deep end of action for me." And I was like, if you're saying that, like, we are in trouble, you know.
No. What was the stunt? What was the...
Well, we had to wear these really enormous robotic suits, which I think would have been great if they could have CGI'd them, but we wanted to do it practically and in a tactile way. And you know, when you hear the word tactile, you're like, that sounds nice and cozy. Like, there was nothing cozy about wearing these suits. Right. Mine was like 85 pounds. It was so heavy that the first time I put it on, I just started to cry. Cry in front of Tom. And he didn't know what to do. And he just stared at me. He was like, I know.
Yeah.
I know. And I was like, Tom, I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this shoot. And I started to cry. I was like, I'm just feeling a bit panicky about the whole shoot. And he literally goes, he stared at me for a long time, not knowing what to do. And he goes, come on. Stop being such a pussy, okay?
Yeah. Nice.
No way. I love that.
Good for Tom.
And I did laugh, and then we got through it. But the training was intense.
Yeah.
It was like twice a day we trained for it. But I got injured doing a stunt. We called it the beach. It was the sort of big sort of beach set that we did the big battles on. And I had to do this aerial stunt on wires, and I was supposed to land on my shoulder, and I landed on my face, and my legs kind of went whoop like that. So
and
it's
what,
just a
what
kind
happened?
Of... Well, I think it was my ribs and my collarbone, which still are a bit dodge now. Thanks, Tom.
Sean hurt his fingers, his pinky on a piano.
I can see.
Yeah.
Wait, I do need to know.
Reaching for a G.
Reaching for a G.
A G flat.
G flat. Yeah. By the way, that's weird you say it because it happened. I swear to God, it happened on a G sharp.
Did it really happen on G-sharp?
Yeah, it really did happen on G-sharp.
Poor baby.
Are you really wonderful at the piano?
He's a trained concert pianist.
Are you really?
Yeah, but Emily,
his show that's coming to Broadway next year, hang on. His show that's coming to Broadway next year, he plays the piano live. He plays all this incredible music on stage. It's incredible.
Gershwin.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, we need
to be friends.
Sean's been trying to get a question for 6 minutes. Go ahead, Sean. Better be good. Go ahead. Because I'm champing at the bet. Better be fucking great. Go ahead.
It's terrible. It's
color, terrible horoscope,
sign. You cut her off like 3 times to get this in. Go ahead.
Oh my God. Look who's talking.
I know.
Okay, so wait.
I'm on fire.
So on the screen, whenever I'm like going, because Scotty and I bought like 600-700 movies that are our favorite movies, right? And so when we scroll down.
How depressed do you want me to be? Like,
when we scroll down.
Do you each have your own individual popcorn bowl, or do you guys share it?
Oh, my God. We totally share. We do a popcorn bowl. But, okay, so on the menu thing, it changes. The poster for The Edge of Tomorrow changes, and they always put live, die, repeat. And so do people think that that's the name of the movie?
Honestly, it's so frustrating. It has about 5 titles, originally, when I signed on, it was called All You Need Is Kill, which I thought was pretty cool.
Which is the name of the book that it's based on. It's a Japanese book.
It's really cool.
But I think Live, Die, Repeat's pretty cool.
But then it got changed to Edge of Tomorrow, which I, to be honest with you, didn't like as much. I thought it sounded
Love it either. It sounds like a soap opera.
Yes. Yeah. Whereas like Live, Die, Repeat is great because ultimately the film is just, you see the mileage you can get out of a repeating day. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
So did they end up calling it Edge of Tomorrow, : Live, Die, Repeat for real?
Yes. I don't even know. I mean, people say different things to me all the time. And I go, yes, it's one of those three titles.
Yeah. I feel like this was all Tom's fault. I feel Tom in a marketing meeting, you know, up on a chair saying, no, guys, understand something.
Hey, are you fucking crazy?
He really didn't. He was upset about it.
You're crazy blaming Tom Cruise. He will hear.
I'm not
about
blaming
this
him for anything, but pure success in some of the greatest movies we've ever seen.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Did I save
guy.
It?
I love his.
You saved it.
I remember Emily when you were doing it. I kept asking you about Tom Cruise because I remember Kraz and I were obsessed with him after all the, you know, the movies.
Is there going to be a sequel, Emily?
I hope so. I hope so.
I read that.
Well, it's 10 years
But I would sort of want someone to do most of the stunts for me this time.
Yeah, right.
Do you know that the suit was so heavy that a man was my stunt double? I was like, that should tell you something.
Good Lord.
That you can't find a girl to want to do it.
Wow.
So, Emily, when you were telling the story about reading for, whatchamacallit?
Devil Wears Prada.
Devil.
That's it. You slipped into an American accent there telling the story.
I know, it's so good.
Very easily.
Yeah, you do.
You do it so well. Is it a hard accent to do? And is there a word that you use that trips you into it? And then after you say like, you know, Brooklyn or bridge or whatever it is, like, okay, got the sound.
No.
Is there a trick?
Because everybody's obsessed with Brits who can do an American accent.
But do you think they all can do American accents? Or are you sometimes like, oh, that's terrible?
Much better than Americans can do British accents.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But do you know, Bridget Jones's Diary was on the other day. Oh my God, Renee crushed it. Absolutely.
Yeah, she did.
Really. Yeah, well, she does it really well.
The tricky part with the British accent, so I hear, I've never tried it, is there's different social classes. And so we might think is, oh yeah, I'm doing it right now. It's like, no, that's Northern or Southern or rich or poor. But I guess that's the same thing with American too, right? There can be Southern, can be Eastern.
For sure. Yeah. I mean,
I think
I can be
very, very different, my son. They can be very different. Yeah, but just do the job, yeah? Just do the job.
That's not bad, actually. We have discussed this before. Do you remember when you and Justin Theroux used to do the accent after me?
Yes.
And actually, yours was better than Justin's.
Thank you.
Really? Like, much better.
Yes.
It's recorded now. All right, so is there a word, a little key word that you use to just...
I wouldn't say a key word, but there's certain words that are very difficult for English people to say. For example, the name Arthur. Can you say Arthur?
Arthur.
No, but say it in your accent.
Arthur.
Impossible. Arthur.
That's good.
I can never do it.
How about this? I find that this one trips up people from the UK and Ireland. Arnold Palmer.
No, see? Arnold Palmer.
I can't Arnold even say Palmer.
The only rule is the R's. That's it.
I think that's why they went to Arnie.
Yeah, but it's the R, which, do you know why? Because we would say Palmer, and that R sound is usually an AR sound for us.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? That's what's happening.
Now, Will, did you have to work at all to get rid of your Canadian? Did you ever think about it?
Oh, fuck, but I thought about it every day, you know? And they're like, okay, and we're ready for you to audition. Go ahead. Yeah, my name's Chandler, and I'm reading I'm Here and Friends, and you'll... And they're like, good. Well, nice to meet you. Thank you so much. Fuck, eh? Can I expect a call back or what?
Wait a minute.
I did a little bit. I did have to lose a little bit of the... I noticed...
Tomorrow?
You know, doing voiceovers about in-house and stuff like that because as I was reading stuff, I was reading for American products. And so gradually...
Like a car company?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, eventually car company,
of course.
But
Jason, your mom is British. Didn't you pick that up?
Your mom's British.
I did. Yeah, the anything I said for a long time, but that was about it. Yeah.
Anything. And you guys say anything, right?
Anything.
Anything.
I'll say anything.
My kids sound very American, though.
Do they?
Yeah, so American.
So what's funny is your husband's very American in the best way, and God love him, and we love Kraz. And I wanted to get into, so you guys decide to make this film together, A Quiet Place. And John directs it to enormous success, critical, box office, you name it. What was that process like when you guys looked at each other and decided, like, yeah, we're going to do this, and I'm going to star in it, and you are directing it? Did you guys have, how were those conversations?
We're going to risk sort of the marriage, the harmony,
exactly.
Everything.
I mean, you sort of feel...
No, but did it start small?
Yeah, I mean, John, I remember John got sent it as, like, a treatment and to be in as an actor. And then he pitched it to me. And he just seemed to have
probably unenthusiastically.
No, actually, really enthusiastically, but just...
No, I'm kidding.
But he had, yes, exactly, because he's so enthusiastic. But it was like a... He had such a vivid world already when he pitched it that I said, I think you should direct this film. And I pitched a friend of mine to play the part.
No way.
That I ended up playing. And then I remember we were on a flight and he had written the whole script and he wrote it quite quickly. And I read
it.
It's
a Quiet Place. There's no talking. It's 2 or 3 pages.
No, that's longer. Come on, the stage directions.
That's so true.
Great dialogue. True.
And so I read it on a plane. I remember kind of popping my head over the top of the seat. And I said, I know this is terrible. I'm about to completely mess my friend over. But would you ever want me to do it? And
on a plane.
He was sort of thrilled.
Did he tear up?
He said yes. I mean, he did because he always tears up. You know, so ready.
I know. It's the best. It's the best,
They're
right?
just primed and ready at all times. Have you ever seen him fake cry? He can squeeze them out, like fake cry.
Yeah.
Like that. Like,
and do you remember that time we were walking?
Astonishing. Next time, get him to do it if he ever comes on. It's astonishing. It's like a gift.
Like a soap opera actor, right? He just like flick
a
switch.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Emily, do you remember that time we were walking back from dinner? You, me, and John, we were in New York at my old apartment. And we started talking about something. John started to cry. We both were like, oh, my God, John, do you remember that at all? You probably don't.
He's but always crying.
I know. We were like, John.
I know.
But just, so what was the conversation like about, like, okay, understand. Well, did you guys know how you both are on sets knew that it was going to be a good match?
Well, that's a great question because I think we are all quite different people when we're at work. You know, you're just sort of different version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think when you work with new people that are not related to you or not that you're not married to, you just have a diplomacy with them that you don't have with your partner. So I knew we were going to have this sort of accelerated version of working together that could either go tits up or not, you know.
Yeah.
And... Like, I think we both found each other quite intense suddenly, you know, at work. Like, he was like, God, you're so like, I was like, you're intense. And he's like, you're focused.
And he was directing too. So, like,
But I also
had to behave a bit. Right?
Yeah, I had to sort of behave a bit. You know, I don't feel I had to eat shit, but I did sort of uphold, I felt.
You were agreeable for a few days.
Yeah, we had like one terrible whispered fight on set in a back room.
Well, because it was a quiet place.
Yeah. One whispered argument, which all the crew heard.
Well, like one of those like, I told you.
Well, can you tell us what it was about?
It was basically about he had this glorious oneer that he wanted to do, revealing me sitting in a chair crying about our dead child.
For Tracy, that's a one shot, no coverage. Camera still rolls all the way through.
It's a one shot.
No cut.
And so with those shots, they're quite technical. So you are often asked to do something again and again.
Yeah.
And I was concerned that I wouldn't be able to, if he started with that wide oneer, that I wouldn't be able to, because I'm not someone who can cry on demand all the time. And I have to go to a rather ugly place. So I'd say, can you start with the closer coverage of this emotional stuff?
Right.
You know? And I think he just, because of light and everything, as you know, Jason, when you're directing, you have a million other things telling you have to
do
it a different way.
You don't want to accommodate some goddamn
actor. You want to accommodate your wife and their actory notes. So I do remember just pulling him in the back room and being like, you told me that you would stop.
How did it settle?
We just drank a lot of whiskey when we got home and it was great. We had these long car rides on the way to work and back. And I also...
So he just had a bottle between his legs driving you home?
Exactly, just a bottle. Yeah. Why does it have to be between his legs? It sounds
like
weird.
Like, bottles are usually too big for the cup holder.
True. But, you know, I will say, I mean, I think there was a part of me starting the film that felt that I was bracing for impact a little bit, like, will our marriage end in divorce, you know?
Mm.
But I just respect him so much. I think he's so talented. I wasn't aware of how talented at directing he was. I don't think he knew. And I remember when we were going into it, I remember going, do you know how to shoot this film? Like, are you sure you know what you're doing? Oh, you
know? Yeah, great.
And he turned out to be so visual.
Yeah,
and
just incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was
Well, you know, Emily, I always say you have to fall in respect, not fall in love.
Wow, man.
You do say that a lot.
You said this.
That's on the small of your back, I think, isn't it?
Since the day you read that off the bathroom wall. I was in John's first film.
Yes.
Interviews with Hideous Men for 30 seconds. He is such a talented guy, as we know, and he is, and I joke about his enthusiasm. His enthusiasm is beyond infectious.
We should have him on the show.
I know. Hang on, let's stop talking. But I will say,
I'd love for you to just pan your camera over Emily, and he's just sitting
next to you,
off camera, seething, staring at the camera.
Seething, this riddled with loathing for all of you.
I had one other question about that, because when you're making A Quiet Place and the sequel with your husband, when you're acting, you go into that place in your brain where you're focused on your work. Is that what happened when you were shooting scenes where, like, you would completely be in the scene and in your head as the character and forget almost that your husband was directing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Did you switch off and on in your brain and see him as a director and then cut? That's your husband. You know what I mean?
I honestly saw him as my husband again once we were in the car driving home.
We
got our secret language back. Whereas on set, there's something a little more sort of performative about everything, you know. Yeah. But I do feel he is somebody, as, you know, in a professional sense, who sees all of me and all of what I do and likes it. So he's very freeing, and he's an actor, so he knows to give you space, and he knows not to come in.
Sean, you go through, you were saying that you wish Scotty, you see him sometimes as your husband and not just as a sloppy Joe delivery service. You know what I mean?
They love the role play.
But I love him as both.
He goes outside, he hits a doorbell. Sean makes him wait.
Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, thank you for the delivery, sir.
Hey, boy, is that sloppy. Look at that. Let me clean this up.
You know, there's two in here. Would you like to join me?
Hey, do you think John would be as good an actor for you if you were directing him?
What a brilliant question. Ooh. I think I would be so scared to direct him. I would not want to.
Would you, just because he would just be pushing back like, what, really? You want me to what?
Well, I think because he would, I feel deep down, he would visually have a much better idea for how it should be done. I think he would listen to me very much from an acting perspective, because I would give him a couple of notes, you know, when we were shooting.
Sure.
But
he would second guess you on your coverage strategy. And,
of course. I feel like I would be completely, completely second guessed at every turn. Yeah.
So you do that film with John, incredible success. You'd also done, I think before, worked with our other good friend, Justin Theroux, whom we mentioned before.
Old sleeveless Theroux.
An inferior accent to mine in virtually every accent.
Yeah, it's way worse. But
what he lacks in you know, sort of accent ability, he makes up for in sleevelessness. Mm-hmm. Do you, when you did Girl on the Train, you talk about not being able to access. I felt like that was such a deeply emotional performance that you gave that was very, very small, that was very, and, you know, of course, there was all this stuff that behind it that you find out that sort of, as we peel back, we find out about this character. Was that a difficult, because you said you had to go to an ugly place, I imagine you probably had to live in quite an ugly place. And I know you don't want to maybe talk about your process. I'm not asking that.
Well, it's also just, I don't know how interesting it is, because I don't know if my process is sort of specific enough to make an interesting point about, you know.
Yeah, but so forget your actual process. Was it a difficult process of making that film, because it was so...
That was a very difficult shoot. That was a very difficult one. And some of them, even if you're doing something dark, like I remember on Sicario, we were doing something really dark and
God
really intense.
God damn it, I love that.
But
I love Sicario.
The experience was sort of wonderful. I think there was something about just the depth of despair that character in Girl on the Train goes to, and dealing with addiction and everything, and me having to, not having dealt with addiction, you know, I had to dive quite deep into a world that was... seemed inaccessible to me in the beginning. So it was a long process to figure out how to play her, and quite an arduous one. Mm. And the shoot was hard, and I was pregnant and I couldn't tell anyone. And so I just felt exhausted and sick all the time. So I just remember that being a hard shoot, mainly because of Justin's fashion sense, but he has got incredible arms.
and we will be right back. Hey, listener, it's Jason Bateman. You know him for putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his new podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. His new podcast, in collaboration with us here at Smartless Media, also features longtime This American Life contributor Elna Baker as his co-host. Together, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surf 100-foot waves, ride 600-mile-per-hour rocket sleds, and wrestle crocodiles for fun. On Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell you, of all guests we've had on Smartless, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star. Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye. Seps.
And now back to the show.
How about that mothering thing? I mean, you're constantly working. It's so great. And your kids are fantastic. And your marriage is fantastic. Like, how, it's just, it seems so difficult to keep it all healthy and harmonious, and there's probably no secret to that either, right? It's just
I don't know if I ever get it right. I don't know if the juggle is ever sufficient on either side.
And I guess none of us will know until the kids are, 25. Yeah.
But it is interesting, like, I think as a mother, you do, and if you are working as well, I think women get asked a lot more, like, how do you juggle it? And I don't know if men or dads get asked that as much.
It is weird. It is like that sort of tradition where, like, well, it's just assumed the guy's going to be away at work all day while the mom is taking care of it. Like, it is so antiquated.
Like, I don't think John's ever been asked that question, And I was doing a film in Atlanta this summer, and I was sort of amazed how many people said to me, where are your kids?
Right.
And I just want to be like, where are your kids?
I know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's so strange.
Isn't that the worst thing?
Yeah, like you should be with them 24.
Yeah, and people ask, Jason, have you gotten that before too? And I see people sometimes people that you know, and they'll do this thing with this sort of like fake inquisitive, because they really want to know what the deal is, like what they go. So their way they do it is they dress it up with, where are you kids?
Yeah, and it's with that sort of smile.
Just so they, so they could dig a little bit and find out what's going on.
They do
at
it,
home,
people do it all the, well, because they want to know. By the way, so even if you're a working mom, they want to be, there's a little bit of shame, and they're like, so you're off doing this. You're off making your movie. Where, who's looking after your kids? I'm concerned about your kids. It's like, fuck off. I got it from here.
It's exactly right. Yeah. And it's that sort of faux care, when you're like, no, you're kind of judging me, because I think maybe our job is perceived as being quite fun and sort of frivolous.
Right, exactly.
You're choosing having a whale of a time over being with your kids,
Exactly right.
Yeah, exactly.
And also for me, I find like the added layer, because, I have kids with my ex-wife and then I'm divorced.
Yes.
They have an added layer of like, what's the deal? So
like,
what's
how
the,
involved are you?
Yeah, how involved are you? What do you mean how fucking involved? They're my fucking kids. And like also yes. like, oh, let me break down for you how it goes and what nights and who stays where. Are you out of your fucking
mind?
And
why mind? Do they care? Yeah. Why do they what? Care?
You know yeah. why? Usually it's a projection.
Yeah.
Because they're deeply, if you were happy in your own situation, you wouldn't have the time to, you wouldn't care.
That's
to
right. Exactly.
There you go. And I have to say, John and I talked about it all the time. You are the most beautiful dad. We talk about it so much.
It's really stunning.
Yeah, yeah.
The best.
Thank you.
He's talking about adopting me.
Oh, gosh.
Emily, what is the thing you like to do when you and or John aren't working? What is the thing you like to do with your kids the most?
I mean, I really love baking with them. We love baking
really?
Some stuff. Yeah, I just
me too.
It.
I just got into it.
And I love taking them out to parks. I love a park. I love a swing. Yeah. Yeah. I love all of it.
Yeah.
God, the Brits love parks.
Now, are you the kind of park goer that brings one of those big sheets and puts it down all over the grass and just sits down cross-legged?
No, I feel like I'm usually ill-prepared with the sheet, you know, with the picnic blanket.
Yeah, I just... When's the last time you guys sat crisscross applesauce? Like,
yeah.
you can't
yeah,
do that knee. Anymore after, like, 12. It's just the
do
hips don't work.
Do you want to hear the saddest story? This is a very sad story, and it's to the point of crisscross applesauce. So we had this incredible dancer in Mary Poppins who was the lead guy in this massive dance number. This guy is a lethal machine dance king. Yeah. He was incredible. He was in the park on the weekend. He was sitting crisscross applesauce. He saw a friend, jumped up, snapped both his ankles because his legs went to sleep.
No snapped way. Him.
Done. Was cut from the film.
Wait,
I mean,
because his legs fell asleep?
His legs fell asleep. This is a very flexible man. This is a guy who can do a box split. And he shouldn't have been sitting with his legs crossed. Snap, snap, wow. instantly. Isn't that awful?
I've just always seen that sort of, that tableau of people sitting on a blanket in a park. And I just feel, there's no way anybody there is comfortable.
It's just nobody. No.
And there's fucking bugs crawling around on your food. And I don't get it.
I like to go to the park on a weekend and me and my lady and we sit on a blanket.
Oh God, I don't like the way you grass. Said that.
Yeah, we smoke a little grass.
Smoke a little hooch.
We smoke a little grass and, we just talk to people kind of wander by and we talk to people and just smoke
you
grass.
Should try that in your Canadian accent. It would be even
fuck,
sexier.
We're smoking weed, eh, out there?
It is the last thing anybody in Los Angeles ever does. And I get that people in New York do it a lot because there's not, no one's got a front yard, backyard, anything because it's so small, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And it's just,
Emily, I want to go back to-
Sorry, Sean, go ahead.
That's okay. You want to talk more about the grass?
I did want to do a little more park blanket time.
Oh, God.
I wanted to ask you because I do think I'm kind of stuck on this thing. I think it's fascinating how you explained how you entered the business by just kind of almost, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but almost like a hobby. You're like, yeah, I did
sexy
a play. Sure, I'll
sexy
pursue it. It's fine. And
oh, my God, yeah, sexy
what
difference.
Jason calls sexy and different.
Back.
And which is part of the reason. So as you now have become more successful and worked a lot more and shown that you are this huge
don't
talent.
Put your hand down. I can't look at the pinky splint anymore.
I'll put it down. Showed that you're this big talent in the business. Have you gained a little more hunger for pursuing it, or are you still kind of in that same space?
What he wants to know is how much money do you make? No, just say it.
When is enough?
And
no,
if
he
so,
wants
and,
to know. You want to know my ardent passion for it, which I
yes.
absolutely have fallen madly in love with it. It was a slow
okay,
burn.
Okay, good. Because
love
I was going to say if it did go away, how would you feel? Not
oh
that
my
I
God.
Hope it never goes away.
Destroyed.
Drugs.
Okay,
destroyed.
Good. Good. I was just
drugs
curious because
train.
It was...
It would be girl on the train. Girl on the train every day.
Girl
if
on
it,
the train.
Oh, no.
Okay, good.
No. No, I would be... I would truly be desperately sad because
yeah.
I love it deeply. I deeply,
not gonna
deeply
happen.
Love it. But it was a slow burn falling in love with it.
So you developed a love as it went on. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, God.
I understand
yeah,
that.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, do you see... pardon me if I am not... heard or seen of your recent Broadway successes, but do you see yourself maybe doing a play like Sean here on Broadway soon?
I would love to. I would really love to. Sean, are you
keep
going
you
to
home.
Be singing in your show?
No, not this one. No, God,
okay.
No. Never again.
That I would not want to do, but I would love to do a play. I started out doing plays and I haven't done one for forever and I would really love, I would love
wait, but you do sing and dance, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to do it every night, like eight shows a week. Who wants to
hard.
Do that?
One of my brothers, who I love dearly, was like, what are you complaining about? You just have to work 3 hours a night. I'm like, yeah.
It's not.
Oh, you have no idea.
Did you throw your dim sum at him?
Some of my dim sum. No, it's like people can joke all they want, but it's like being an athlete. You have to wake up, eat the right food, make sure you sleep, exercise, work out, stretch before you do it. It's like a whole thing from the second you wake up to the second you go to bed. It's just a whole thing. Yeah.
Yes.
What do you find the hardest part? Is it eat the right food?
Yeah, probably. Because I reward myself at the end
the
of the
night. The Sloppy Joes.
I ate like shit yesterday. Oh my God, Sean, you would have been so proud of me.
What did you eat?
I didn't have any dinner, and I just was like, fuck it. I was just by myself, and I just ate ice cream. I ate a bowl of ice cream.
Yeah, why wouldn't
you? Good for you. I thought you were going to say something really boring, like broth, and I was like, oh, come on.
No, I had a bowl last night.
Did you take it to bed with you? Did you wake up with a bowl next to you in the morning? like a bad after-school special? Little Willie's got a problem?
You know what? I did think of Jason. This is how fucked up, how much he has fucking polluted. Yeah. As I was eating it, I was like, oh, fucking, if Bateman saw this, he would be saying this, and he would be saying that. And I'd be like, hey, Tayson,
you'd be 750 fucking pounds if I wasn't in your life. And me the same. I think about you all the time, too, right? When I'm about to have something Chow real down. Salty. Yeah.
You eat well. Emily, you eat well. You like to eat well, or are you like, I wish I was eating like shit,
you're
like
great.
Sean.
No, I have like bouts of eating really well and then bouts of eating badly. It's sort of like fall.
Well, the baking, though, I mean, that can get away from you. You got to watch out for that.
That can get starchy quick.
Sean just taught himself how to make a cheesecake 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
my God.
He had a spare Wednesday.
How'd it go?
Yeah.
Have we talked about it yet on the show?
No.
We sure haven't.
Sean on Sunday night, we were at our friends for dinner, and he goes, and they're like, Sean made dessert. And they brought out this fucking cheesecake that he had made.
Sean.
With an unbelievable graham cracker crust or whatever.
He's trying to figure out how to fill a week. So he decided to teach himself how to make a cheesecake.
It was so
Sean,
good.
Was it like a classic cheesecake, or was it a
flavored classic
cheesecake?
It takes about 9 hours to make it because you have, you know what a water bath is? I'm sorry, a water bath. Yeah.
A water bath.
Yeah, so you had to make the water bath and put the tin foil in the springform pan. And then you got
God.
And then you have to make the top of the sour cream layer. It's a lot of
it
work.
It was delicious.
Did you do a double baked?
It was really nice.
You put it in the oven for an hour and you let it cook, and then you can't open it, and you let it sit in the oven for another hour. And then you take it out of the water bath and let it room temp, and then you put it in the fridge. It's like a whole thing.
Emily, if you really wanted to impress Sean, he was coming over for dinner, what would you bake with the kids? What would it be? Is it a dinner or sweets?
I'd probably make I'm probably not as good at the baking. I mean, I make a fantastic roast chicken. I would make you a good roast chicken. Yeah.
I'll be over
Is John a good cook? Am I remembering that right?
No.
John.
No, he's very good at scrambled eggs, and that's about it.
Oh boy!
What about Em? If you're at home and you're in Brooklyn and you guys are gonna order in takeout?
Yeah.
What and you're like, fuck it, I'm gonna live a little tonight. What is the thing? What's the thing?
We had Thai food last night.
I love a pad see. I love a drunken noodle. I love a drunken noodle. Are you fucking
so
shitting
good.
Me?
Oh, so good. So good. There's just so much starch and just so much salt.
That was Jason's.
Oh,
that was
good.
Jason's nickname in 1998. Drunken noodle.
Drunken noodle.
Yeah.
Oh, drunken noodle.
Because it described his state of mind and also his state of play.
Prowess.
You know what I had for breakfast yesterday, guys?
Yes.
Oh, please let us guess. Please.
Fruit Loops.
Nope. A bagel.
No.
Pop Rocks.
Sugar Smacks.
No. Nope.
Pop Rocks.
I'm not kidding.
Dipping sticks and maple syrup.
I love dipping sticks.
Hang on, let me fucking guess. I thought you said that we could guess. A tub
chicken
of
and waffles.
A tub of Cool Whip.
No, I had a bowl of chili with cornbread.
Ooh,
oh, God
that's
damn it.
A tough for way breakfast. To start the day.
How
isn't
often
it?
Do you redo the plumbing at the house? Are you a galvanized steel yet?
Have you gotten a cease and desist from the power and water?
We have PVC pipe. Double.
Do you have your plumber and his snake equipment on retainer?
His snake equipment.
Emily, I apologize for today.
Oh, my God.
In the last 59 minutes.
Okay. Sean and Scotty just said, fuck it, and they just went straight to the source. They took the toilet out, they cut a hole in the floor, and then go straight into the main line.
Throw a bunch of hay down there. And
right into the main line. Fuck it. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Tap into the city.
Emily Blunt, listen to me. I am I've been such a fan for so long. It's such a pleasure meeting you.
And you too.
I just think, well, first of all, I would love to see you in New York.
I know.
Easy.
Please,
easy.
I would
let's do like a lunch or something.
I would love it because I would love to go for lunch with you because I don't want the last image of you that I have of you and your toilet habits. Directly. Like, this is terrible.
I know. It's a great point.
Well, at the very latest, we're all going to get together and go see Sean's play called Goodnight Oscar, playing at some theater in the spring.
It's in New York. It's in New York in the spring.
At the Belasco Theater. So it's in the spring, so we've got time for this pinky injury.
Yes, that's why I'm attending to it.
There'll be something else. Believe me, reaching for the Fruit Loops. Reaching for the Fruit Loops is no guarantee of staying healthy.
It's so true. Will knows me.
I'm going to lacerate his hand with a spoon. We love you, Emily. Please say hi to John. Tell him to clear some time for us, please.
Emily, are you guys going to be in the city in December during the holidays?
So do you know what? We're not. We're about to go to Sydney, Australia for 12 weeks. I'm doing a movie out there.
Whoa.
No.
I'm the voice of Australia. Did you know that?
Don't.
I am.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
I'm the spokesperson for Tourism Australia, not a joke.
Are you really?
I didn't know that. When did you get that?
You don't do the accent, do you?
No, it's me and Rose Byrne, and it just came out, and it's about telling people to go back.
That's great.
I swear to God.
Stop it.
Yeah, it's funny. Anyway.
All right, well, it's working.
I'm going to miss you guys. Oh, that sucks.
I know, that sucks.
You're going to miss Christmas too, Emily. You know they celebrate Christmas in the summer
there. We're going to have a hot Christmas. We're going to have a pool party.
Literally,
the whole thing.
Jason does that to me every time, and I was like, really?
I was waiting for you to go, hang on, what?
What?
Stupid Sean.
No, we're gonna have a hot Christmas. I'm so excited.
Dang it.
Wait, all really right. quick, tell me what the movie is and tell me like who's in it, directing it. Are you excited? What's going on?
Very excited. It's Ryan Gosling is in it and David Leitch is directing it. It's called The Fall Guy, based on Don't you love Leitch, isn't he?
Wait, The Fall Guy based on the TV show?
Based on that TV series. Do you remember that TV series?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I love it.
That's cool.
So Ryan is playing the fall guy. He's playing the stunt guy. And it's this bonkers, mad, incredible action adventure. It's very funny.
That sounds so fantastic.
Amazing.
It'll be so fun.
Good for you.
The best.
Well, keep doing like the greatest work in the world and being the greatest person in the world. And we'd like to see and hear more of you in person.
Please. Emily, it's so delightful to see you. You're just something else.
It's been too long.
Guys, love you guys so much.
Love you too. Love to John and the kids. Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you, Sean.
Yeah.
So nice to meet you.
All right. See you soon.
All right, dudes. Love you.
Bye. Love you too. Have a great time.
Bye.
Man.
Right? She's just the greatest.
I've been such a fan for so long.
Me too. I love her.
I can't believe you guys haven't met. I mean, there's... anyway.
I know, because I know John, but it was
you would love her, Sean.
It was B.E. before Emily.
I think we've got a serious situation with John. I don't know how that has gotten away from us, and now it's too. Now it's like too late.
It's on me.
I have been sort of clearing out a little bit, and not wanting to take that from you because you knew him before me. That's going to be my excuse, it's pretty true.
I gotta get.
You're a terrible friend, Will.
Well, that's true.
But I'm so glad you brought up the Edge of Tomorrow. It's like one of my
films.
I'm serious. Can we really seriously
Jason,
watch that?
You're going to be blown away by how good
and
it
I
is.
And I think, was that the same director, Kaczynski, Joe Kaczynski, I want to say, who did
Top Gun,
I want to say, or Doug Liman. Doug Liman was Edge of Tomorrow?
I think that's right. I think it was Doug Liman.
I'll look it up right now.
Yeah. It was Doug Liman.
Tom Cruise did another great film with... Joe Kaczynski, though, I think. Anyway.
Doug Liman also did the first Bourne movie. He's done a lot of, like, very quietly did a bunch of big movies that were real kind of game changers. That Edge of Tomorrow, Jason, we've spent most of the show talking about Edge of Tomorrow.
I know.
But it is one of the more underrated movies of the last 30 years.
For sure.
It's so good.
And Tom's actually funny in it. It's like a comic.
there's everything some about it is so good. It's yeah, really well made.
I'm on it.
But I love the Emily.
But that Emily, what a.
She really is the real life Mary Poppins.
No, she's something else, man.
Yeah, she's just a great friend. And I meant it when we should have gone further on that answer about what's the secret sauce to her being so goddamn affable and personable and genuine. Yeah,
well, it's what you always say. It's the sexy indifference.
Well, but yeah.
But it's not put on. She doesn't do it. She's very comfortable. She's confident. Her mom and dad are really nice. She comes from a normal place. She had a, you know, and I think that lays the base for being a very sort of normal, comfortable person. She's not insecure. I mean, everybody's got their regular stuff as human beings.
Right.
But it's not like she's not doing it out of a place of pain or whatever. She's doing it all because, you know, she loves to do it, and she's a good person. She's very, very down to earth, as you guys know.
And I feel like that's just the way she wants to be and would be like that with or without fame and success. And
she and John are great together. They're very good sort of yin-yang, too. Like, they work off each other very well. And I joke about John's enthusiasm in the best way because I love him. He's like a puppy. I always describe him. He's like a big...
Well, because they fell in respect. They didn't fall in love. They fell in respect.
Holy fuck.
So listen, but...
I just can't believe you tattooed that to the small of your back. That's excessive.
Aren't you excited about her new movie called... What's it called again? What's it called? The Fall Guy, everybody!
You can't say guy.
And by the way, why do you go... but it's guy's not bi. Why do you always go up? Why are you yelling? And why does it always go high?
Energy. You gotta leave people
and then
with
you repeat
energy.
It. And you repeat it. Like, well, how did that become what it is?
Because... Yeah.
Like, you make it worse.
What? You know what? I've decided that for all these, I mean, first of all, stop pumping the air. And you can't say guy. What you need to do, if you're worried here about comes. Having a sign here off, comes. You always here have comes. To have one here in your comes. Pocket on yeah. stand.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Rob Armjarv, Bennett Barbaco, and Michael Grant Terry.
Smartless.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.